Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
What's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watch the animated Thanksgiving turkey time-traveling movie Free Birds from 2013 with my friend Addison Antonoff. Addison uses she/her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to Cynical Cartoons for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she/her, and I'm here if you need to talk. Okay, I think this is a pretty good place to start when you're talking about Free Birds. When I started watching this movie, like, the very beginning is like, all right, so all the turkeys are dumb, except for Owen Wilson turkey Reggie, who realizes that turkeys get eaten on Thanksgiving and wants to convince all of his friend turkeys. He's instantly, like, chastised from his group, exiled from them, basically.
For some reason, they all, like, sleep in, like, this one massive pile, and they don't even let him sleep in a massive pile. I have a lot of questions about that, but... And also, in the opening, at some point, they go, he's anti-corn, which for reason is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe I've dedicated so much of my life to write funny things, and I will spend so much of my life writing funny things, and I'll never be as funny as the opening scene in Free Birds, where this one dumbass turkey goes, he's anti-corn.
Well, I think my issue with the movie is that within the first 5 minutes, it's setting itself up to be like... a black sheep of the family kind of story. You know, he's like, the truth is, I've always been a little bit different. And I was like, okay, so this is like a Ratatouille ripoff. I guess it's going in that direction. Maybe he's going to become like a pro basketball player or something like that as a turkey. But no, it's about a turkey that time travels back in time to stop the settlers from eating turkey with the Native Americans on the first Thanksgiving.
And it is as... It's as uncomfortable as you expect to be a movie starring Owen Wilson to be about relationships between conquestors and indigenous people.
Well, because almost every single character in the movie is played by a white person. George Takei is in this, and Keith David. I think those are the only two non-white people in this movie. Yeah. There are no Native American people, as far as I could tell. But the entire movie, this is one of those ones that's constantly like referencing like, oh, the Indians. But like you never actually see those characters. And they show up in the last 2 minutes and they're like just complete stereotypes. And they're just friends with the colonizers and they're all friends with the turkeys. And it's like, how is this a happy ending? Like, you know what happened between the people that colonized America and the Native Americans that were murdered en masse by them? Like, what is this movie?
Like, also, like, the turkeys, the design of the turkeys are, like, very stereotypically, like, what you see in, like, a spaghetti western of, like, Native American characters. It's very weird. And there's also, like, references as if, like, indigenous people didn't exist. Like, there's a scene where they're back in time and they're talking to the turkeys. The turkeys back in 1621. And whether you think that's the first Thanksgiving or not is up to debate. I don't care about Thanksgiving. But they're talking to this turkey and they're like, why do you live underground? Because the turkeys live underground. And this turkey's like, we used to live in the trees, but we're forced underground when the settlers came.
Oh.
Apparently humans didn't exist before the colonizers and conquestors showed up.
I didn't realize that allegory went straight over my head. It was just how they painted their faces and all had feathers sticking out of their hair and how the ending imagery was all like just very reminiscent.
It's like the exact art you see in like kindergarten classrooms of Thanksgiving, but instead of eating turkey, they're eating Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Oh my God.
But it's like, we used to live in trees, but we're forced underground when the settlers came, which implies that nobody ate turkey or birds before the settlers came.
Well, I don't think that's what they were trying to get at. I think that they were just saying, like, the settlers spread out way too quickly, which, that tracks.
The one thing about this movie that I think I enjoy is how they portray Miles Standish as a batshit wackadoo. That I appreciate. He was the mustache guy. I don't know why I remember the name Miles Standish, but I don't remember anything.
I was about to say, is this a real historical person? Because you seem intimately familiar with Miles Standish.
Intimate and Miles Standish should never go in a sentence together. I just know that he was one of the original settlers. I know him and William Bradford existed, and they both wrote about life there. But it was weird because the scene right before they were like, we used to be forced underground before the settlers came, implying that the colonizers were the ones who started eating the turkeys.
Right.
But in the scene before, Miles Standish said, we have to rely on the indigenous people for food or else we're going to die. It was just a weird movie.
Yeah, no, none of it makes any sense. Like, the stakes here are, like, the way that the colonizers talk about the first Thanksgiving, like, they know that it's the first Thanksgiving, where they're like, we need to get the turkeys so that we can make peace with the Indians. And it's like, well, what? Why do they know that this is a momentous?
It was a weird movie from start to finish because Reggie, the black sheep turkey, gets pardoned and he goes to Camp David. Like, he goes home with the president and the president's daughter, who's like 7. But the president just sounds exactly like Bill Clinton, and it freaks me out a lot.
So,
also, like, there was this moment where they're like in like the helicopter. They didn't take Air Force One; they took a helicopter to this farm. I don't know.
Where I know exactly what you're talking about. Where Bill Clinton coded the president so that his daughter could be like, this is the woman my daddy's fucking or something.
Oh,
like
the little 7-year-old is like holding the turkey and bringing the turkey onto like the helicopter. And he's like, that's the girl my daddy likes, but don't tell anyone. And I was like, holy shit, this turkey holds the secrets of the Lewinsky scandal. Like, if Ken Starr had gotten a hold of Reggie, the world would not be the same.
Who's going to translate?
Yeah, because there are moments like where you see from the human's point of view and it's just gobble, gobble, gobble. I can't do a turkey noise, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reggie honestly knows too much. Like, not Bill Clinton president, because he's not Bill Clinton.
He's got dark hair, so he can't be Bill Clinton.
I mean,
but
he doesn't look anything like Bill Clinton.
Doesn't Bill Clinton have blue eyes? 1 second. I don't know what Bill Clinton's eyes color is.
It doesn't matter what Bill Clinton looks like. What I'm getting at is, why in 2013 is the president Bill Clinton coded? Like, you would think that, like, they would have satirized Bush or maybe, I don't know, Obama, who was the current president at the time, or maybe just made generic president man. But instead,
it's specifically Bill Clinton, and it's so weird.
Yeah, and it's like, there's not, like, a real joke to that aside from the joke about him fucking his secretary. So,
yeah, it's...
I don't know. Was it just like the voice actor's choice? Did the voice actor just make a really weird call and they were like, yeah,
okay,
I guess that's
we'll just
funny.
Write it in, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where she's like showing him around Camp David and they walk past like one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or something. I don't know, some important general. And the daughter's like, that's the general. He's got issues. And I was like, wow, this movie has taken a harder stance against the military than anything else I've seen in the past year.
They spend so much time in this movie setting up this little girl, and it kind of seems like they have a Toy Story kind of relationship, Reggie and the little girl. Like, it seems like the movie should have made better stakes to set up Reggie as liking living in the White House enough to actually want to go back there.
It's
at the end of the movie,
odd.
His whole arc is that at the end of the movie, he does time travel back to the current day. He and Woody Harrelson, Turkey, go back to the past. And the entire time, he's trying to get to the present, while Woody Harrelson, Turkey, is trying to, like, fix things in the past. So when Reggie, Owen Wilson, Turkey, gets to the current day again, all it is like, 30 seconds, and the little girl's like, Reggie, my favorite turkey, and sees him and then falls asleep in the bushes. And
I'm really worried about her, because, like, she keeps falling asleep very suddenly at random.
Yeah.
Like, every scene she's in, she just goes, I'm tired now, and then just bangs right. down on the floor. I was like, this poor kid is not getting treated for narcolepsy, and I'm very worried. There's a lot of scandal in this White House. You have
right.
a daughter not receiving medical treatment. You have Monica Lewinsky. You have them spending, like, this... Reggie buys a lot of pizza, which I'm curious. He never pays for it.
No, and how does he order it in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, not only does Chuck E. Cheese not deliver, but if somebody called up a Chuck E. Cheese and started gobbling like a turkey, they wouldn't bring 20 pizzas to your house.
Yeah, and, like, the one thing I wanted was, instead of this movie to happen, I wanted, like, news breaking about a scandal on how much money the president spends on pizza. That's mm-hmm. the movie I wanted, not what I got. Because, like... There was recently, like, I'm in Massachusetts, there was recently some report put out, like, someone who works for the transit section of the government spent, like, thousands and thousands of dollars on lunch, like, an unreasonable amount of money on lunch, and I was like, this is the story that I want from Freebirds, but instead it's this very weird racist movie with Owen Wilson.
So what I was getting at with Owen Wilson's character is... It doesn't make any goddamn sense, which is okay. That's fine. Whatever. It's just like a boring, lazy kids movie. His character realizes very early in his life that humans want to eat turkeys. And so mm-hmm. he spends his time trying to convince all of his friends, like, hey, turkeys, we're going to get ate unless we work together. So let's band together and stop the humans. He's ostracized from his friend group. He's pardoned by the president. And then has an opportunity to go back in time and stop the turkeys from being eaten forever. And instead decides that he wants to just, like, hang out in the White House. And it's basically like when a poor person who, like, really, really, really cares about social justice and equality moves into a new tax bracket and suddenly is like, I don't think billionaires are really that bad, you guys. Like, they worked really hard for their money. Like, he turns coat so quickly on
this
his whole entire mission.
This movie
could have
been good commentary if it wasn't so... if it wasn't what it was. If it was a good movie. But no, it's... Freebirds.
That'd be such a weird movie for it to be like a social commentary about wealth disparity in America and be about a fucking turkey fixing
See,
the system from the inside out.
That's the movie I would watch, but Owen Wilson let me die. I know that he wasn't in charge of this movie, but I blame him for everything in it, which is bad. Like, actors shouldn't be blamed for the choices of writers or directors, and they shouldn't be awarded for good things that writers and directors do. They should be awarded and disparaged for acting. But
sure.
I'm going to blame him for everything in this movie because it's Owen Wilson.
Like, especially not like
yeah.
an animated movie. Look at Snow Dogs. That came out a couple weeks ago, and it stars what? Like Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson or something like that. It's fucking
what an
poorly animated.
Hawkeye and Black Widow turned into dogs. I have not seen Snow Dogs. I don't know what it's
no,
about.
No, nobody's seen it. I don't know if she's in it either, but Jeremy Renner stars in it, and it looks like one of those like Rob Schneider direct-to-video, you know, direct-to-Netflix kind of movies.
Oh, Jeremy Renner. Like, there was this weird moment where Reggie also was like, wow, he like sees pizza for the first time. He's like, wow, that looks so much better than corn. So I wanted to ask, do you prefer pizza or corn as a meal? And why?
Pizza?
Okay.
Just because I'm a garbage human that likes garbage food. I mean, if it's Chuck E. Cheese pizza, maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, corn also isn't a full meal unless you're a turkey, I guess. So this is also the second Owen Wilson movie I've ever seen.
What is the first one? You haven't seen Cars?
Oh, I keep forgetting he's in Cars.
Yeah, Cars 1, 2, and 3, and
I've seen Cars 1 and 2, I've seen Freebirds, and I've seen... the only movie I've seen him in as a human was... I don't remember what it was called. It was the one where he, like, interns at Google or something.
Oh, the internship.
And he has to learn how to code and stuff.
With him and
the
Vince
internship.
Vaught. I mean, Owen Wilson is a real shit choice for the lead in this movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know that he has a very distinctive voice, and that's what they're going for a lot of the time with these kinds of things. But like from the very beginning of the film where you instantly hear Owen Wilson's voice and he's like, I'm not like every other turkey or whatever it is that he says, who fucking cares? Like you're like, oh no, I have to listen to Owen Wilson for the next 90 minutes. And this motherfucker drags. Like I got to minute 27 and I was like, is this almost done? No.
Oh yeah, see, okay. I took several breaks while watching this movie. At one point I just like spent an hour watching Vine compilations because I was like, I need a break from Owen Wilson.
So he's enjoying his lap of luxury and he's visited by Jake. And Jake is a big turkey. I don't even know how to talk about Jake. He's played by Woody Harrelson. He sucks. I don't like him very much.
He's the jock turkey until you get his traumatic backstory in like act three of the movie.
He's got a heart of gold, this guy.
I get the idea of like holding, like not giving all the information at once, but they literally only tell you about Jake's backstory the scene before it becomes relevant. So it's like his backstory is basically, I guess spoilers to the people who haven't seen this movie. So basically, Jake was like grown in a lab,
right?
And like everyone was in cages, and it's dark and it's terrible. But his mother like hides some of the eggs, and they give Jake like as a Jake who's a baby turkey at the time like about 5 eggs, and they're like, "Go start a new flock elsewhere out of this laboratory."
Right.
And so he gets them and he almost gets away, but he gets caught and he escapes, but he drops the eggs and the scientists pick up the eggs. The eggs don't crack. I feel like that would have been too terrifying. The eggs are taken by the scientists and brought back. So he loses all of the unborn siblings and
right.
just runs
this is
away.
How you create stakes in that situation is that he's running away. He has 3 eggs in his hand. He drops 2 of them and they crack. And then he only has 1 egg left. And he's like, I need to make it out. This is my last chance. And then he can't get past the gate with the egg.
I that can't situation... believe you script doctored Freebirds so easily. I would watch that. I would watch that movie. I would watch the movie about Jake's tragic backstory before I would watch Free Birds.
That situation was so funny to me because basically he escapes from the lab. He gets outside. He's running away with 3 eggs. And then he squeezes through a fence barely. He's a tiny little chicken, turkey, whatever. He's a fucking bird. He squeezes through the fence and the egg doesn't come out with him. And then like
even
you can
though
see
it's smaller than him.
Well, it doesn't matter how big the egg is. If it doesn't fit through the fence, it doesn't fit through the fence. And then he looks up and his family is so disappointed in him. I'm like, it's not his fucking fault. Like, he barely got out alive. And they're all like, fuck you, Jake, stupid asshole.
I looked up what would you call a baby turkey, and apparently it's a poult. P-O-U-L-T. So it's not... So
oh.
That's I've learned more about Thanksgiving and turkeys because of watching this movie than I expected to this holiday season.
I hope you didn't learn anything about Thanksgiving from this movie.
From this movie, no, but like, because like I know basic things like, I mean, I know generally about what happened, not about the first. I don't know anything about the history of Thanksgiving beyond like it was became an official recurring holiday in 1863 with Lincoln, which is a weird thing to do in the middle of the Civil War, but go off, I suppose. Like, it's the middle of the Civil War, and he just declares Thanksgiving, like, a recurring holiday. And I know the date for it changed in, like, 1941. There were a few years where, like, Thanksgiving happened on 2 days. It
right.
And that's, like, I pulled up a copy of Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford to see how many times turkeys got mentioned, and that's about it.
Right. So Reggie and Jake, Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson, go back in time to, what is it, 1621, you said?
Yes. I believe that's the year. Yeah, 1621.
And immediately fall in line with a bunch of other turkeys in a new turkey flock, I guess, or whatever they call it. Very quickly gets to know sexy lady turkey, Amy Poehler. Who doesn't belong in this movie. You're too good for this Amy Poehler, but I guess I don't really know what else she was doing in 2013. Like, hot off the tail of Baby Mama, maybe.
Yeah, it was so weird hearing, like, Amy Poehler, of all people, like, flirt with Owen Wilson. And it was just... It was a weird time. When they first meet Amy Poehler, I was thinking, oh, God, this is going to be some weird Back to the Future kind of deal. Were Reggie's great-great, and then I calculated it would be around 77 or 78 greats grandmother has a crush on him.
Oh, well, that's fine then. They probably have diluted the gene pool enough at that point.
Yeah, but like, because these turkeys are humanoid, it feels, I thought that's where the movie was going. It was going to be Back to the Future, but Thanksgiving.
Right. By the way, back in 2013, she was working on Parks and Recreation. Her character in this movie is so fucking lame. Like, I could not handle Reggie and Jenny together.
Smurfette, but a turkey. It's weird.
It sucks so much. Yeah, she is like the only female character in the entire film that's not a little girl. And the entire film, she has nothing to do except like, I fuck Owen Wilson turkey. And then at the very end of the movie, they're like, you're the new leader of our tribe. You're the best of all of us. And I'm like,
Because her dad died. And yeah. I was like, she literally is just Turkey Smurfette.
Yeah, she's just girl character number one. And it's like the entire movie, her and Owen Wilson are going back and forth of like him being like, Jenny, I really want to fuck you. And then she's like, what? And he's like, oh, nothing. I don't know what. And then she'll like do the exact same thing.
That's almost verbatim what happens in the movie. I'm not saying watch this movie. I'm saying don't watch this movie. But if you've seen it, right. You know that is almost word for word the dialogue exchange between them.
Like, all the characters in this movie are lazy and obnoxious and shitty, but especially Jenny. Like, she really has literally nothing to do except want to fuck Owen Wilson, which is so perplexing to me. And they're both just so horny the entire time. Like, there's one point where Owen Wilson turkey meets, like, a big warrior turkey, and he was like, so, Jenny, are you, like, rubbing waddles with that other turkey? And she's like, that's my
rubbing
brother.
Rubbing waddles.
She's like, that's my brother. And he's like, oh, well, I didn't mean... it's like, you nasty fucker. Like, why?
That's also the worst possible way to ask someone if they're single.
Yes! That
sucks. Especially if you don't know the relationship. Like, you see two people who are close to each other and like, oh, you guys are knocking boots, right? Like,
and it wasn't even that. It wasn't even that they were, like, super close to each other. They just, like, had one conversation and he was like, oh, you guys are fucking, aren't you? And he's such a fucking incel about it. Like, he wants to fuck her so bad, he doesn't know how to ask her out. Instead of asking her out ever, he just fucking goes back to the future and goes back to his life at the White House. And he's like, Jenny won't sleep with me, so I guess I don't care about turkey kind anymore. And it's like,
oh my God.
What the fuck is wrong with this character? Why is this happening at all?
I just had the worst thought. The Joker... mashup with Free Birds. Somewhere on the internet, there is a turkey version of the Joker.
Dancing down the stairs in the middle of New York City to Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd as he's like stomping. Can somebody please draw this for us? Like, I don't really ask for fan art ever on this show, but
please,
if somebody wants
please.
To draw Owen Wilson turkey dancing down the stairs like Joker, that would be really incredible. Oh my God.
The most blessed media. I don't even know how I would react.
I just want to see either that and or Owen Wilson turkey in the chair aside from Robert De Niro on the talk show. Like,
oh my
legs
God.
Crossed over and like making like a dirty joke and everybody in the like's like, oh my God.
He's like, no, he just leans over to like Robert De Niro and he goes, so y'all, what was it? That you said
rubbing waddles.
So he just leans over to Robert De Niro and be like, so y'all rubbing waddles.
Oh,
and it's
my
just
God. I mean, that's not the only disgusting thing that happens between them, because she's also disgusting towards him. There's a part
she's
in the episode.
She's so mean. They're both so mean to each other.
Well, there's a part in the movie where she hands him an egg and then the egg cracks in his hand.
Oh yeah.
And the little turkey comes out and Amy Poehler turkey is like, she wants you to throw up some worms in her mouth. What girl wouldn't? And I'm like,
keep
like, that's
your
the nastiest
kinks
shit.
Out of the barnyard.
Get it out of this fucking kids movie. I don't need to hear about you throwing up in each other's mouths. Fucking nasty. And it's like, she treats him like he's so hot. And he's such a, like, a nasty little, like, if he was a human, he would look like Steve Buscemi. She wants to jump his bones so bad.
He would specifically look like Steve Buscemi dressed as a high schooler carrying a skateboard. Very specifically that iteration.
Eating fucking, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
I can't get over that of, like, did Chuck E. Cheese get a cut of, like, the $3 profit of this movie? Like, And there's also the weird, because she's like the stereotypical like cartoon female character, and like, I'm strong and I don't care about boys, but I'm going to fall in love with the main character because I have to.
I literally am contractually obligated. That's the only reason I'm here.
And there's like this weird moment also, like when they meet the flock, that Jake and some other turkey, I think it was Amy Poehler, Turkey's father, they have this weird like turkey dick measuring contest.
That was her brother.
Oh, her brother.
Her brother is like a big warrior turkey that's basically, they're basically Jake 1 and Jake 2. Like, there's no difference between the two of them.
I feel like they're somehow related.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's this weird, like, turkey dick measuring contest. Like, they like, puff up their gobblers, which I don't know if I don't know turkey biology. Like, they spread their wings out, and they're just like, we're men! It was very weird. But it got, like, really, like, they were, like, touching each other. Like, they were up again. It was very,
sexual. I mean, there's so many moments in this movie where they do just, like, wrestle or fight or, like, dance together or do, like, an elaborate handshake. And I'm like, honestly, why don't you guys just fucking get it over with? Like,
there's multiple scenes where these two turkeys start fighting and end up dancing. Like, it happens more than once. It's very odd.
It's not good. It's not good.
It makes me wonder, like, generational gaps. Like, I don't know. I have a few questions about turkey society, but I don't want to voice them because I don't want to think about turkey society. But Jake is essentially like the turkey version of Gaston, but like 100 times worse.
Oh, but not played as a villain in this.
Yeah, you're right.
He's an idiot. He's a big jock.
If Gaston was like the sidekick.
Right.
Which I guess would make Reggie LeFou. This does not work as a comparison, but he's essentially Gaston.
Here's what it is. If this movie had a female lead, Jake would be the villain. Like, Jake, have you seen Tuca and Birdie?
I have not.
Okay.
I've seen like 3 movies. It's, one of them's The Internship and the other one is Freebirds. And the other one is Cars.
Well,
oh God.
So in Tuca and Birdie, there's an episode where Birdie, she's a bird woman and she wants like a promotion at her office, but every day when she goes in there with like new notes about what they should do, the company, this dude next to her in the meeting like reads her notes and then speaks up louder than her, so everybody listens to that guy. So Jake is basically Dirk from Tuca and Birdie. Like, he's just like this shithead that has no ideas for himself. Literally the same exact thing. Like, somebody else will be like, everybody, let's go. And then he'll be like, let's go, everybody. Like, his entire thing is just stealing somebody else's thing and rearranging the words so that it seems like he's the leader.
I really, really hate how in female-led movies, the villain is a hero in male-led movies. I was thinking about Beauty and the Beast. I was actually talking about Beauty and the Beast in class this week because all I do is go to school and get into debt. Oh, God. And so I was thinking, like, Gaston is a villain in Beauty and the Beast, but Jake, who is essentially just Gaston, is, like, a hero in this movie. And it just creeps me out because Beauty and the Beast was made in 1991, and this was made in 2013. Fun times. There's just so many bad things about this movie. Like, Reggie, like, there's this scene where they're, like, trying to, like, Miles Standish and co. Like, they set a bunch of traps, and so one of the things that the turkeys do, because the turkeys are trying to trick them, is, like, spring the traps so turkeys don't fall into them. Jenny goes with Reggie, and she's like, do you know how to, like, set traps or whatever? And he's like, yes, I do. He doesn't. He literally falls off a tree and falls, he literally falls into success. And I just, it was an interesting sequence, I guess.
Yeah, there's a weird element to that that doesn't really make any sense in this movie, where it's like usually that character who's like the snivelly little shitty guy who's like the hero's journey. He's brought on the journey. He has to learn how to lead. And usually in that situation when he accidentally springs the trap and everybody's saved, everybody doesn't see that. And they like think that he did something really heroic. But in this movie, every single time that he fucks up and saves the day, everybody's like, we saw that. You're not smart and you're a coward. And that's okay. We still like you. Like, there's no real stakes to any of this that make any sense for his character. Like, he wants to go home the entire time. That's the whole thing. And he just can go home. The time machine is just available to him the entire time.
Like, there's this moment where he literally gets into the machine with Jenny. So they're in the time machine and they just fly into space and look down at Earth. Which also, I don't know how Reggie has a concept of what Earth looks like from space because he's a turkey. It felt like it shifted from movie to movie. Like that scene where they're in space, it suddenly felt like a Doctor Who Thanksgiving special. And then they're back on Earth and they're running from William Bradford or whoever. I don't know who's who. There's the mustache guy and then there's the other one. This is my PSA to anyone who might have a history exam. If you just write John and then scribble after it, you're going to get the answer right. So in my head, they're just John 1, John 2, and John 3.
Right.
And then Miles. And then right. Will. It switches from movie type to movie type very quickly. Like, it's Black Sheep of the Family. And then it's like trying to save the world, and then it's like rags to riches. Like, there's this weird moment, like he goes from being a turkey about to be murdered, and then he's like Cinderella and becomes like living in the castle. And then at one point they're in space and looking down at space, and I was like, this feels like Rose Tyler and the 10th Doctor, but like as turkeys, and I'm not a fan. And then they just drop like this trauma story about like mass-produced food with Jake, and it's just...
Yeah.
It was a lot, this movie. And they also never explain, like, where the name Great Turkey comes from.
Yeah, no, it's a closed loop. Like, honestly, well, the whole thing is that Jake in the past got a visit from the Great Turkey, who was a turkey enshrouded in light, and he couldn't see who it was. And then from minute one, you know it's fucking Owen Wilson. Like, you know that's gonna happen at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And the entire time, they make you, like, build up to it.
One of my first notes is, does Reggie is Great Turkey? And then also, like, at the end of the movie, there's this whole scene where, like, Owen Wilson is coming as the apparition of the Great Turkey to Jake. And it's just Owen Wilson shouting, I am the greatest turkey. Like, Owen Wilson shouting, I am the greatest turkey is a lot to digest.
Right.
And I don't think I've processed that proper. I think my brain is still trying to get over, like, watching Owen Wilson shout, I am the greatest turkey. I really wish they had behind the scenes for this movie. I would love to see these actors in the studio. Like, how, like, what?
I can tell you what it is. It's Owen Wilson in a fucking bathtub taking a soak while he's recording all his lines from this movie, and his script is a little wet, and he's like, what does that say? Oh, I guess it probably says something about a turkey. I'll make something up. Don't worry about it.
Yo, that's absolutely what happened. And there are just like moments like at the end, there's this weird moment where the turkeys wage war, and like someone just says, wow, those are some angry birds. And it felt like the entire movie was leading up to that. And it made me want to take out my clavicle, give it to some upper class suburban family, and have them play Wishbone with it over Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, I was just like, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. I've already sat through 90 minutes of this horrible movie, and you do this. You have an Angry Birds joke. Like, I was expecting an Angry Birds joke to happen, like, but then didn't happen in the first 20 minutes. I was like, okay, I'm safe.
No.
The end of the movie, when I'm on my knees, then they throw it in. I was like, way to kick a man while you're down.
Well, what should have happened is that the pigs from the the pigs from the settlers should have joined the battle, and then, like, a bird attacks a pig, and then they're like, oh, that's an angry bird. And you'd be like, oh, now I get it. I didn't get it before, but now I get it.
I just can't believe that Reggie the turkey prevented genocide and ended racism. Like, I just, it's very weird. Like, he brings, so in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie, you meet, like, the pizza delivery man, who's, like, your stereotypical pizza delivery man.
Stoner pizza guy. Classic.
Every animated movie you've ever seen has had this pizza guy character.
I think it's the character model from Toy Story.
But he brings the pizza guy, even though the pizza guy cannot understand the turkey speaking.
Right.
He brings the pizza guy holding like 20 pizzas back to Plymouth and serves the pizza to everyone. And it's just very odd. And then, like, the one line that's had by a Native American character is, like, someone drops anchovies onto a pizza. Like, they literally trip and drop anchovies onto this pizza.
I think the man's name is John Anchovy. I think that's the joke, is that they're like, John Anchovy, what are you doing there? Oh, you got your little stinky fish on my pizza. Mmm.
Yeah, like, he literally drops these fish onto this pizza, and this guy, the Native American character, who I don't know if he has a name in the script, he takes a bite of this fish-covered pizza and goes, it's kind of gross, still better than my wife's cooking, am I right? So, like, one of the only lines given to...
Well,
like a Native American character is this.
You're forgetting, because immediately after that, one of his friends comes running by with a pizza slice as a loincloth.
Oh my God. I don't remember.
Pretty funny. No, that happens. It was really fucked up. I was like, this movie's so bad.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It just keeps getting worse as
It really does, because there's a couple more things I want to break down. One of them is something you touched on a little bit earlier when you were talking about Jake's backstory, is that the movie seems to have an anti-turkey farming message, right? It seems to be against, like, slaughterhouses for turkeys, and it seems to be, like, pro-vegetarian but also pro-pizza, so...
So pro-vegetarian, but anti-vegan.
Yeah, maybe not vegetarian, but it seems like it does promote like a vegetarian message. Like if I had watched this as a kid and I loved these turkeys, which doesn't seem possible. I think if I would have watched this as a kid, I would have hated it.
I think kids are too smart for this.
If you love the turkeys, then you're going to watch this movie and be like, oh, I'm not going to eat turkey anymore.
Yeah.
Does the movie think that it's like smart enough to do that? Like it seems like if a movie's gonna have a message like that, that it needs to be a little bit more less stupid.
I honestly didn't even think about that, but that makes sense. I don't know how to describe this movie. It feels like in the first 10 minutes of the movie feels separate from the rest of it feels so disjointed. And like, how can you have a movie that introduces you to Bill Clinton in the first 5 minutes have a moral standing? Like, no matter how you feel about Bill Clinton, which I wasn't sentient then and I don't really care. That's my hot take of the day. I don't care about Bill Clinton.
Hey, you know who else doesn't care about Bill Clinton? 6-year-olds in 2013.
Yeah. Like,
why the fuck in this movie of all movies?
Why is it Bill Clinton?
It's really just the lazy choice. Like, there are a lot of presidents that are easy to satirize. And if you're going to go for Clinton, Bush, or Nixon, or even Trump at this point, like, that's just, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
I'm trying to think, cause, like, this movie came out in 2013, so I would have been, oh my God, I would have been 8th grade. So I feel like I was a little too old. I feel like if you're an infant, you're also a little too old for this movie. I also wouldn't recommend playing it to pregnant people, because I feel like that might...
They'll laugh so hard they're going to give birth. Yeah, I think
that
so.
That or they'll just throw up more.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about with this movie is turkey anatomy.
Oh,
God. All of the turkeys in this movie, so their hands are, they have fingers that are made out of feathers. They have opposable thumbs that are feathers. And they also have little human teeth inside their mouth, like the fucking thrown away original Sonic the Hedgehog designs.
I think that's what that design, Freebirds didn't get as popular as they wanted, so they recycled the turkey as Sonic, and then that got shot down. So these turkeys will be back somehow, some way.
Yeah, they'll find a way to get them into something. We'll see them show up in an Avengers movie sometime.
Why do they have teeth?
It's so nasty. There was a point in the movie where one of the characters like starts screaming, and he's got a little nasty-ass baby teeth in his mouth. And I'm like, why is this... This is so disgusting. Like, they have beaks that are already pretty malleable and move like human mouths. And the only time on screen that we see any turkey kiss another turkey, it's like they move out of frame, thank God.
One of the few things to be thankful for, I guess. Oh, why do they have teeth?
It's really nasty. And the opposable thumbs, I don't know what bothered me more, the teeth or the opposable thumbs. Because the fact that they're constantly, like, picking things up with their feathers and then handing them to each other and their thumb, like, moves like a human thumb. But it's a fucking feather. You're like, how is that?
I think, for me personally, it's definitely the teeth that are more unsettling. Because teeth on their own are unsettling as is. Like, teeth are just weird. Like, the feather finger thing was weird, but the fact that they had hands wasn't weird, if that makes sense. How much money did this movie make?
I think that it actually pulled down pretty good. It was like $55 million or something like that on a $30 million budget. And I mean, you can tell that it's kind of a cheap movie. Like, it doesn't look like super, super cheap. This isn't like a Frozen Christmas 3 situation. But it's not like, I don't know, what came out in 2013? Like...
Freebird.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, what was the Pixar movie that came out that year? Like, Brave? Like, this does not look as good as anything else that came out that year. Especially when you see something like the dogs, whenever they show up, the pack dogs that go chase after the turkeys.
That was so weird.
They look terrible. They look so bad.
Yeah, like, Brave came out the year before, I think, 2013, 2012, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird difference. Yeah, the dogs were a weird and unnecessary touch. Like, the colonizers have, like, 3-4 dogs.
Right.
And they use them to hunt. And they just show up at random. It's very odd. I was expecting, like, you know in Toy Story when, oh my god. He ends up, like, riding the dog, like, as a horse.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting that to happen.
I think that's just a you thing. Like, I didn't get that impression from the movie. The dogs, to me, seemed like soulless creatures.
Yeah, which is weird, because dogs are rarely soulless creatures, but turkeys, I think, are genuinely soulless.
Right.
Turkeys, I'm suspicious of turkeys. Probably because they're turkeys in my head are often, like, paired with geese. Just in my head, they're grouped together, and I don't trust geese.
Well, I think that that's just the turkey lobbying industry, you know, trying to convince you that turkeys are brainless little shits that you'll eat
more. So you're telling me the masterpiece song, It's Turkey Lurkey Time, from Promises, Promises, that was performed in the 1969 Tony Awards.
Okay, I don't
propaganda.
Know what that is. I saw you send me a link to that video, and I thought it would for sure be a scene in the movie, but it's just something that you seem to like a lot.
I don't. It's a song about eating turkey and eating goose.
Oh my god. I'm really surprised there was not, like, a lot of songs about turkeys in this movie.
I'm kind of surprised it wasn't a musical. I feel like they would have made this a musical.
Oh, that would have been good. I mean, I expected to hear at least, like, Shake Your Tail Feather by the Cheetah Girls, you know?
Yeah.
It's a song from Chicken Little.
I feel like I would love to see Reggie and Chicken Little get into a fight. You know, like, epic rap battles, and they do, like, characters from history? That, but Reggie from Freebirds and Chicken Little.
Right, right.
That's what I want. That's what I want for Thanksgiving.
You know, I'm really worried right now that Shake Your Tail Feather wasn't by the Cheetah Girls, and I'm trying to look it up. It it was, in fact. I was right all along. I'm so proud.
Cheetah Girls. I haven't heard that name in years.
Closing thoughts about Freebirds. What do you think?
Oh,
I think
God.
We pretty thoroughly tackled all of it. This fucking movie doesn't have a lot going on.
I think we've put more thought into this movie than anyone on production did. I guess I don't know if, like, a sobering moment is okay, but, like, I would just like to remind everyone that, like, the people of North America were here long before, like, colonizers, and they were horribly murdered and moved and disenfranchised. Like, and yeah. Like, I know this is a comedy podcast, but I'm just going to say this, and then you can cut it out if you want, but, like, to everyone having Thanksgiving, like, it's great to be with your family, and it's great to have that time, and it's great to have time off if you're lucky enough to have it off. But, like, just remember how things were on a really good note, I guess.
Yeah, the next time you're watching Free Birds. I mean, that's the thing, is thinking about it the entire time that I was watching this movie, I was like, where are the Native American characters? Why they're constantly referred to the entire movie is like, we need to make sure that the Indians have a good time so that they'll be our friends. And I'm like, you know, this doesn't end well. Whoever wrote this fucking movie took a sixth grade history class about the first Thanksgiving in 1983. And that's the only information that he had about that whole situation. Like, they read the first two pages of the assignment and then forgot to read the rest of it. And they're like, the Trail of what now? Like, it's not a good situation.
Yeah, I feel weird, like, suddenly being, like, very serious on this podcast, but I feel like it might be something to mention. I don't know.
No, it's absolutely worth bringing up. Like, it was in the back of my mind the entire time watching this movie. Like, wow, this is in really poor taste. Like, entire film, I was so off-put by the entire situation. And,
Like, on a brighter note, I didn't realize that Steve, who is the time machine, I didn't realize that Steve was voiced by George Takei until the last, like, 2 seconds of the movie, because they lift off and they go into space and Steve goes, oh my. And I was like, hold on a second. They would only put that in. And I was like, frantically Googling.
Yeah, that's
and
the
I
very
was
ending
just like,
of the movie.
Oh,
that's the last line.
The last line of this entire movie is George Takei referencing George Takei.
I mean, he plays, like, three characters, right? Like, he is a turkey and he is the time machine.
Yeah. But, like, I was just sitting there watching this movie, the only thing warming my soul being the soup in my stomach, nothing else.
Did you almost say loins?
No.
It sounded like
stomach.
You almost said, okay.
Where do you keep your soup?
It sounded like you almost said soup in my loins. Listen, I heard what I heard. You can't gaslight me and tell me I didn't hear that shit. I heard it. Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen.
Oh my God. Completely lost track of it. The only thing that was making me not feel cold and dead inside was what I was eating and putting into my stomach. And the last line of this awful, terrible, no good movie is this egg-shaped spaceship taking off going, oh my. And I was like, hold on a second. Was this voiced by George? Also, I don't know why the time machine is shaped like an egg. Like, it makes sense for, like, the movie because it's turkeys and eggs. But, like, it was made by the United States government. So why would the United States government make a time machine shaped like an egg? That's my last thought on the movie, is the idiocy of the United States government, I guess.
I mean, I just love how the United States government put so much effort into making this time machine anyway. And then the time that they're doing the test to, like, make it go off, they're like, oh my God, a turkey's running towards the machine. Everybody get out of there. We can't shut it down. We're going to lose the machine forever that we spent $40 million on.
It was so weird. And then, like, as the machine is, like, floating away, like, the flamethrower, like, the people in it, A, are dressed in contamination suits, which is an interesting choice for security guards, and B, are carrying flamethrowers. Not guns, but flamethrowers, which was an interesting choice. And they all get sucked into the time machine, meaning this entire time, the turkeys are incredibly well-armed, and it just never comes back.
Well, the last thing that I wanted to say was that at one point, Owen Wilson Turkey pulls out a TV remote that he had taken from the president, and it's like, where did you get the TV? Like, was it stuffed up your ass? And then later on, when he pulls out the doorknob, it's like he doesn't carry around a little bag with him. He doesn't have pockets.
He only has an ass.
Where does he put it?
I don't know.
He's not carrying it the entire... Anyways, that's the show. That's Free Birds. Don't watch it. It's really bad. Addison, thank you so much for joining me. This has been fun.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for entrusting me to be on another episode. This was great.
Oh, I thought you were about to say to talk about the incredible cinematic achievement that is. Thank you for trusting me to talk about Free Birds with you.
Thank you for having confidence in my talking skills.
Oh man, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Medium and YouTube under Addison Antonoff, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter under @PaperJamSession.
And I'm on Twitter @StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Jake, what happened? You're only gone like a second.
I've actually been gone for years. Have you heard about the turducken?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.